Well, welcome everyone as you come to our Christmas family service. We're going to begin this morning by hearing the good news about the birth of Jesus. I open the book team often go into schools and tell this kind of story. So I'm just going to read from the storybook, and we're going to read about the first Christmas. "Good news," said the angel to a girl named Mary. "God is sending someone special into the world. He will be a great king. His name will be Jesus." "And guess what, Mary? God wants you to be his mother." "Good news," said the angel to a carpenter named Joseph. "God is sending someone special into the world. He will rescue everyone from the wrong things that they have done. He will be God's own son." "But guess what? God wants you to take his mother Mary as your wife and raise little Jesus as your own." "Bad news," sighed Joseph to Mary. "The rulers of our country want to count us, to see how many of our people there are. And to make it easier for them, we have to go back to our hometown. And that means a trip all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and with the baby due so soon." "Bad news," sighed the innkeeper, shaking his head. "There's not one room left in Bethlehem. But seeing as the young lady's expecting, why don't you spend the night in the stable?" "Good news," smiled Joseph, handing the baby to Mary. "It's a boy, just as God promised, God's own son, there in your arms, Jesus." "Good news," called the angels to the shepherds on the hill. "God has sent someone special into the world, the someone you have been waiting for. If you hurry into Bethlehem, you can see him for yourselves. He's just a baby now, wrapped up warmly, lying in a manger. But one day he will save you from all your sin. One day he will bring you peace." Then the angels filled the sky with the good news song. The shepherds went to Bethlehem and made a good news visit. And on that very first Christmas day, Mary just watched and rocked her baby and smiled a good news smile.
So we have now reached the fourth Sunday in Advent, which means it's time to light our fourth candle. And I'm delighted that Kev is going to help us with this morning.
Today, we relight the first three candles of the Advent wreath, the candles of hope, peace and joy. Now we light the fourth candle of Advent. This is the candle of love. Jesus demonstrated self-giving love in his ministry as the Good Shepherd. Advent is a time for kindness, thinking of others and sharing with others. It is a time to love as God loved us by giving us his most precious gift. As God is love, let us be love also. In the book of Deuteronomy, we find these words: "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and who loves the strangers, providing them food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." This is Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 17 to 19.
From the Gospel of John, we hear, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This is from John 13, verses 34 to 35. Love is like a light shining in a dark place. As we look at these candles, we celebrate the hope, the peace, the joy, and the love we find in Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. Thank you, God, for your Son, Jesus. Thank you that you love us so much that despite our sin, everything we do wrong, you sent Jesus to die for us. Help us to show your love to others, our friends at school, our work colleagues, our families, and people everywhere. Amen.
God bless us, everyone.
Oh, it was so lovely to hear Holly as well as Kev. Thank you both. And Jacob, thank you for helping out as well. Absolutely fantastic to hear you too. Now, our first song was written as part of a Christmas Schools production, but we have taken it to our hearts and actually use it all year round. We last sang it in the middle of July, and if you remember, this recording is of Jane and I singing it in Romania. Jesus, light of the world, shine on us, we pray.
Shine on us, we pray.
Well, I want to speak this morning about a communication revolution. I don't know what you're like with long words, but I'm going to try and explain what I mean by a communication revolution. Well, let's think about that word, communication. What does it mean? Well, it means sharing information, either by speaking or writing, or in a different form of communication, a bit like using the telephone. We communicate with each other through that. So we're going to be thinking about different ways that people communicate with each other, and then go on to think about how God communicates with us. And then secondly, revolution. What does that mean? Well, a revolution, it basically means something new, that there's a different way of doing things. And we're going to be thinking about how God caused a communication revolution, that he had many ways to communicate with men, but at Christmas he did it in an entirely new way, and that's what we're going to come to. We've already been communicating with God, haven't we, as we have sung to him. We have sung our carols, our praises to him already today. But there is another way that we can communicate with God, and that's through prayer. And so we're just going to pray now as we kind of get things going this morning. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are out there, that you are the amazing God who is everywhere all the time, but that you're also just right here with us, wherever we are today. Even though we can't meet in church, you meet with us in our homes, and you want to communicate to us. You want to tell us the truth about Jesus. And we just want to communicate with you and say what an amazing God you are. And we are so thankful for all that you have done in making our world. And as we come to this Christmas time, as we remember that you sent Jesus into our world, we just want to praise you and thank you. In the midst of all our excitement about presents, and hopefully spending some time with some of our family, if not all of our family, this Christmas, Lord, we just need to stop and think what Christmas is truly all about. So help us in that this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You do know how I like a quiz, and I'm sure we would have one if we were meeting in church. So we're going to do one online. So for a moment, you'll need to pause the video and go and get yourself a piece of paper and a pen, something to rest on. We're just going to write down a few things on a piece of paper, a piece of plain paper and a pen, if you will, please. Okay. Now that you've got your piece of paper, hopefully, on the left-hand side of the paper, I want you to write down 16 dates in a column, 16 year dates. So I'm going to read those out to you. They'll also appear on the screen here. Firstly, 4000 BC. Then below that, 2500 BC, then 200 BC, then 1450 AD, 1520 AD, 1792 AD, 1836 AD, 1876 AD, 1890 AD, 1925, 1963, 1969, 1973, 1989, 2004 AD, and 2011. So should look something like this. Then on the right hand side, I want you to write the following words below each other: internet, printing press, Morse code, telephone, radio, Facebook, satellites, flags on ships, cave painting, semaphore, World Wide Web, hieroglyphics, 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 smoke signals, Zoom, television, and mobile cell phone. Okay, so you should have a list of 16 dates and then 16 ways of communicating. Now what I want you to do is to draw a line, or draw a wire as it were, between each date and what you think is the corresponding communication thing. So for example, if you think that Flags on Ships came out in 1969, draw a line between 1969 and Flags on Ships. So spend just a few minutes going through and putting a line joining one date to each item. Well, I hope you have paused the video for a couple of minutes just while you join those lines between the dates and the various ways of communication. If you haven't done so, pause the video. Now we're going to go through the answers. Okay, the first one, 4000 BC and maybe a little bit before that, you should have cave painting. Cave painting, this is one of the earliest forms of communication between people. They've discovered, haven't they, these incredible images going back of paintings in caves. For 2500 BC, what did you have? Well, the answer here is hieroglyphics. We think of ancient Egypt, don't we, in particular, where these pictures and symbols are a very early form of writing. So we're looking at about 2500 BC for that. Well, what did you have for 200 BC? Well, actually, this is smoke signals, and in particular, smoke signals were used along the length of the Great Wall of China for communities to communicate with one another. So 200 BC, you should have smoke signals. Now, I've moved a long way forwards to the fourth answer, 1450 AD. Wonder what you had here. Well, the answer is the printing press under a man called Gutenberg. And this allowed for books and manuscripts to be printed en masse. Before that, people used to have to copy one book into another. So a very long, slow process. But by setting up type, multiple copies could be produced. And this really particularly helped with the printing of the Bible. So the Bible could go out to many, many more people than could happen if you just had hand copies. 1520. Well, the answer there is flags on ships. I'm sure you've maybe seen, you know, a big old sailing ship with these kind of flags up. And each one of those flag stood for a letter of the alphabet or a number, so that you could communicate with other ships using flags. And I suppose moving on from that, in 1792, we're looking at semaphore, a person standing and waving flags in different directions, and each of those movements representing a letter of the alphabet. By 1836, we've moved on to an electrical form of communication, tap, 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 tap. It's Morse code, 1836, dot, 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 dash, 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 dot, dot, dot. That means SOS in Morse code. And then 40 years after Morse code and that electrical communication came the first telephone in 1876 under Alexander Graham Bell. And what an invention that has been, hasn't it? What an incredible way of communicating across the miles to be able to speak to someone else using the telephone. 1890 saw the invention of the radio through Marconi in Italy. And 1925, following on from the radio, eventually came television through John Logie Baird. Forward now to 1963. And 1963 saw the first satellites being launched into space, and so that signals from the Earth could go up to the satellites and beam back down to Earth in a different place. And then following that, in 1969, we have the invention of the internet, and by that we mean computers being able to communicate with one another in different places. 1973 saw the invention of the first mobile cell phone by Motorola. There have been other types of wired phone before that people carried around, but really the first practical mobile cell phone came in 1973. Just thinking about mobile phones through the years, there's been really quite a revolution, hasn't there, in mobile phones. We could say, you know, there's been a process. Initially, mobile phones went from sort of really big block size phones, and then they got smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller as the years went by. I can remember back in the 1990s having a little phone, only about the end of the 1990s, a phone probably about that size, maybe the early 2000s, I'm not sure. Really, really tiny, just about as small as you could get. But from there, mobile phones have gradually started to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger again, which is all to do with the fact that we can now access the internet and the World Wide Web through our mobile phones. So they're much more than a phone, but for many people their phone is like a little handheld computer these days, that you can search things on, you can even watch movies on, you can play games on. You can do so much with it. So there's been, if we think about that word revolution, a revolution in mobile phones, getting gradually smaller, 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 and then bigger. And then we come to 1989 and the whole connection of the World Wide Web. It's a sort of network of linking web pages across different computers, different websites all across the world. So it's like a spider would make a web. Well, that web covers the entire globe so that we can access information from all over the world for good or for evil sometimes, unfortunately. That's the World Wide Web in 1989. 2004, that leaves us with Facebook and the whole area of social media. I don't know what's your particular brand of social media, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or WhatsApp or what, I don't know what you particularly use, but that whole area of connecting with friends and families and sharing information with each other. And then in 2011 came the invention of something that a lot of us have been using really probably for the first time this year, and that is Zoom. And that's a way of like holding a meeting together where each person's face appears on the screen and you can talk freely between each other as though you were in the room together. And we've been really grateful for Zoom during these lockdown months, because at least we've been able to have coffee and chat on a Sunday morning. If you haven't joined in with that, please do. We've also been able to have online Zoom prayer meetings and leadership meetings. And it's just been a way that we could stay in touch with each other, even when we couldn't see each other face to face. So 16 dates, 16 ways of communicating. I wonder how you did. If you're on Facebook, why not go on there and just let me know what your score is. Put it on the Stoke Green Baptist page there on Facebook, and we'll see how people did. Who knows, there might even be a prize if you're the winners. I'll see what I can get to you. Okay, so that's the end of our little quiz. I think it'd be good time to perhaps just to stop and sing a song, and then we'll think about the implications of this communication revolution when it comes to Christmas.
Before we sing again, we're just going to have a look at some of the fantastic craft that has been done by some of our young people. Christmas craft and story packs were taken round to all our younger church families recently, and they were encouraged to send in photos so that we could all enjoy seeing what they had made. Now, I am aware that some families didn't make the photo deadline, but don't worry. We are just glad that you had a great time enjoying the packs. After we have seen the pictures, we will have the chance to watch and join in again with the Ipswich Noel. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Well, I don't know how you got on with the quiz. Maybe you got your wires crossed. But I know someone who has communicated perfectly. And that is God. He has communicated perfectly with the world that he created. I want to read some important verses in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, and verses 1 to 3. And it says this: In the past, God spoke to our ancestors, that's generations of people who lived before, through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us, he's communicated to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, that's a long word, isn't it? After he had died on the cross to forgive us our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty of God the Father in heaven. So I want to ask a question. In what ways has God spoken to people in the past, particularly in the Old Testament times? Well, he spoke in a number of ways. First of all, he spoke through his creation. Now, it says in the book of Romans that God can be understood by all that has been made, so that we are without excuse. And what that means is, you know, when you go out into the beautiful world that God created, it says that somebody designed all of this. It didn't just happen by chance, but that God made things to fit together. So that actually that creation is telling us that there is a God, that there is a designer that we need to know and have a relationship and to love and to honour. So God speaks to us through his creation. The second way that God often spoke to people was through dreams. God gave people a dream in the night, a vision of something. We can think about a lot of people in the Bible who had dreams, people like Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel. But I was thinking about this in this picture of Joseph. Do you remember the story of Joseph? And he had this dream, didn't he, of these stalks of corn, all these stalks of corn around his stalk of corn, and all the other stalks of corn were bowing down to him. And he had this dream of the stars and the sun and the moon all bowing down to him. And that was a picture of one day in the future, how his brothers were going to bow down to him when he was in Egypt and giving out the corn, and how his whole family would come there and honour him. So God gave him a vision, a dream. God spoke to him through a dream. God also sometimes spoke with an audible voice. When we think of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, God spoke to them with a voice. And then the story I was thinking of was the boy Samuel, who was in the temple, and he heard a voice calling him in the night, "Samuel, Samuel." And he thought, "Who's that? Who's calling me now?" So he went along to Eli the priest and he said, "Eli, have you been calling me?" And Eli said, "No, no, I haven't been calling you." And this happened over and over. And so eventually Eli realized what was happening. And he said to Samuel, "Next time you hear the voice, Samuel, Samuel, then you say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" You see, God was speaking with an audible voice to Samuel. Another way that God spoke to his people was through his commandments. Do you remember Moses went up high on a mountain and God gave him the Ten Commandments on two tablets of stone? God actually wrote on those tablets of stone, and Moses brought them down and shared God's laws with the people. And then also God speaks to us doesn't he, through his word, the Bible. That the Bible is God talking to us. So it's very important that we read the Bible regularly and listen to what God might be wanting to say to us through his word. We're not going to hear what God wants to say if we don't open our Bibles and read it. And then God spoke through prophets, through men that he chose to stand up and to deliver a message from him. And we find lots of prophets in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, we have John the Baptist, who was kind of like the last of these line of prophets. And John the Baptist was there to prepare the way for the coming of Jesus. I suppose, in a sense, a preacher like me or someone else who stands up and talks to you is a little bit like a prophet. We're telling you what God's word says. So do you see all these amazing ways that God communicates with us and tells us about himself? But in this chapter in Hebrews, we read, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his son, by his son. We've been talking about a communication revolution and how different ways of communicating have happened through the years. But this was the most amazing communication revolution by God, because God not only spoke to mankind, God became a man in the person of Jesus. Jesus came into this world and became a human being like us, so that he could speak to people face to face. For all the different ways that we've talked about today that we can communicate with people, whether it's on the phone or on Zoom or anything else, the best way still to communicate, to talk with someone else, is face to face, isn't it? And that's really what we've been so missing during this year, just seeing each other face to face. That's the best way to communicate. And that's what Jesus came to do, to speak to people face to face and then to go and to die. Seems a strange task to go and to die, but he came knowing that that was what he had to do. And it says there, after he had made purification for sins, that's after he had died and paid the price of our sins, he sat back down at the right hand of God in heaven. He returned to heaven after he had paid the price of our sin. Ah, you say, but I've never seen Jesus face to face. No, you're right. And I haven't either, but I do believe what the Bible says, and it does say that one day we will meet Jesus face to face. Now, for me, I'm very excited about that, because he's my saviour, he's my Lord, he's the one that I've believed in and trusted in and I know has forgiven my sin. But you need to ask him to do that. You need it to ask him to be your saviour and your Lord and to follow him in your life. One day you will meet him face to face, and I pray that it will be as your saviour and as your Lord, and not simply as your judge, because God has to punish all the wrong things that we do in our lives. Now, he either is going to punish us, or he has punished Jesus in our place if we will receive him as our saviour and our Lord. So this is the most amazing, incredible thing for me about Christmas, is that there is this communication revolution, that God became a man in our world so that one day we can all meet him face to face.
as our service this morning draws to an end. There's three announcements before we close with a short video and final song. Firstly, unless there's been any change of plan since this voiceover was recorded, we look forward to seeing some of you at 4 o'clock this afternoon for our pre-booked outdoor carol singing. Wrap up warm, bring a chair and a mask, and we'll sing our hearts out in a socially distanced but together way. Secondly, whilst it will be so strange not to meet on Christmas Day, there will be a short online Christmas Day service at 10:30 a.m. And then finally, we will meet together online next Sunday, as usual, when it will be a very special final service of 2020, with several of you sharing your amazing, wonderful, thankful experiences of God this year. But for now, we refocus our thoughts on God and the incredible gift of His Son Jesus, given for us all.
I would like to leave this city, this old town, don't smell too pretty. I can feel the warning signs running around my mind. And when I leave this planet, you know I'd stay, but I just can't stand it. And I can feel the warning signs running around my mind. So here I go, I'm still scratching around in the same old hole. My body feels young, but my mind is very old. So what do you say? You can't give me the dreams that ain't mine anyway. You're half a world away. Yeah, you're half. Thank you.
the slave.